Welcome back. And take up your cross and deny yourself. I have to admit, this is not the gospel I would have picked for this Sunday. I would have picked something much more upbeat. But as I've wrestled, I think there's something really auspicious and very grounding and rooting in just this message for today. Take up your cross and follow me. But if we're going to talk about that, we have got to unpack it. We've got to unpack a lot of the baggage we bring with it. Because whether you were raised like I was in the fundamentalist family of Christianity or a Roman Catholic in almost any Roman Catholic parish, there's a lot of freight that goes with suffering and the cross. And really, it didn't start this way. Christianity started with other symbols, but from about 1700 years ago, so most of our history, we have put crosses on just about every wall we can find. There's probably about 30 if you count them in this building. I'm wearing one now. We wear crosses. Some of you are holding them up now. It's a central symbol, and it always will be. But of what? What is this thing we're supposed to be doing of taking up our cross and following? Very quickly, the persecution of Christians and then medieval Christianity and the plagues especially really brought it in full. Suffering got connected with the cross as kind of equal, you know, coterminous. So, you know, somehow either God needs to suffer or you need to suffer, or everybody needs to suffer for love to happen, for grace to be imparted. Nodded heads I'm seeing. And there's a lot, we could talk forever about how that all worked itself out in its theology, but I can say with both feet on the ground, it's bad theology. And I can say that because it is, the connection is made right here in this passage, in this first century Jesus sermon. Those who try to calculate, who try to save their life, are going to lose it. In fact, really, who doesn't? But those who die before they die, who lose their lives, who let it go, are going to find life with a capital L. I'm paraphrasing, but that's Jesus saying, it's about life. So that's what we're talking about, not suffering. I'm going to try to get at it from a couple different doors. One is a Buddhist parable that when I heard it kind of knocked me, and it stays with me, I think, for life. A student says, when times of great difficulty come to visit us, how should we greet them? And the teacher answers, welcome. The longer I sit with that, the harder it gets. It's that thing that's at your door, that is the next plank on the boardwalk, the next step on the journey, that is essentially given, not asked for. In fact, like the I'd wish it to be this, not that. But it's then this action of taking hold of it and saying yes. It's not good, it just is. It's the next step. And there's another steps I could take that would be diversionary. But no, I know this, hard as it might be, is the next thing for me to do. The thing that I have to head into. It's that the compass reading pulls me toward. That's it. That's the cross. In the image, that's exactly what, you know, he doesn't want the cross. Who does? He says, if it could be any other way. He's also not going to do this thing Peter is kind of set up with his foil, like, I can get you out of this. Let's go that way. Why don't we just dial it down a little bit, change the message, and it'll be more popular. Like, that might be right for other people, but this is my course. Here's a more vernacular door. I was listening yesterday on NPR, like I'm sure many of you were, to stories of 9/11 20 years ago. They were interviewing a woman who had been married to a firefighter, and he said, I love you. see you tomorrow, when they went to bed at night, got up early and went to a shift, never came back. And she talked about how, you know, they found his keys in the elevator of the World Trade Center in the master elevator, you know, switch, and realized, oh, that's where he was, bringing people down as long as it was possible. And hundreds of stories like this. The one that stuck with me as I listened to it was like, what made him run toward the building when others were running away? It wasn't more bravery, it was a particular call. It was right for everybody to be running away. And he knew it was right for him to run in. And he would have wanted to be anywhere but that. But he also was both feet in, not should I come or go? That's not even a question at that moment. Wow. And, you know, then I'm thinking, okay, we all actually are doing that in our own ways. We can all tell that story. I mean, what's parenthood if not suffering? But suffering isn't the point of parenthood. You know, how ridiculous would that be? The point of parenthood is this beautiful stewarding of another awareness, another life into the world, and hopefully to become more mature than you've been and take it forward and keep growing and evolving. And suffering is just that collateral piece. I'm reading right now Letters to a Young Poet again, and he says, memorably, let's see if I can remember it. Something like everything worth doing, everything that matters is hard, and everything matters. That's it. There it is again. Those notes. Take up your cross and follow. So let's scrap the suffering. We're going to do enough of that anyway. It's collateral. It's not the point. And instead say, okay, what leads to our transformation? Frankly, we can't control much of it. It's almost all out of our control, except to say, welcome, yes. That is the power move. That's the switch. And it's the one that we're taking daily. I mean, to get out of bed is to say, yes, welcome. We all have our individual stories that will pop out of this. Like, you know, I don't think it's actually that hard to know what that is. It's just hard because it gets cluttered up with the suffering thing. So again, that's our work. But then in addition to our individual path, there's our collective path. St. Paul's, you know, we are coming together at a challenging time for the planet. And of course it has affected us deeply. But it's not about the suffering or the difficulty. I mean, that's just, let's just say, well, yeah, of course that's there. And what is it that is ours to do? What is it that is in this moment part of our DNA and also our call, kind of like the DNA coming toward us from the future, which is another way of looking at God? So we're going to get together, as many of us as can, on Zoom this Saturday, 9 a.m. That's a plug. Sign up at Lemonade on the Lawn. We need every voice, because this is how we listen to the voice of God. And we're going to talk about, very simply, how we pray, how we learn, how we serve, and how we stay connected, which will kind of catch all of it. And just listen. So what I'm inviting you and myself to do is listen as deeply as we can for what matters most. What feels like, okay, this is both the DNA we can't give up, who we are, who God has called us to be, and then this, you know, what's coming toward us, who God is calling us to be, that might be just experienced as vertigo. Like, I don't even know how to think about that. Good. That's a good sign. There's a cross there in the Jesus sense, not the suffering sense. So turning toward it, listening more deeply. The vestry's got the real heavy lift of listening to all of us and then saying, okay, let's discern some steps to take based on what we're hearing. And then trusting. Faith comes that God has always led us is leading us and will always lead us. That all we have to do is, you know, say yes, welcome, and take the next step. And then there's another moment of listening. It never ends. Transformation is again, not how I would choose it, because it never ends. It's always uncomfortable, and it leads to places we couldn't have imagined. But we know how this works. It's always been like this. We're different now than we were 5 years ago when we were children. So, in this week ahead, take up your cross, leave the suffering behind, let the burden be light, as Jesus says elsewhere, and listen in for what it is that is this deepest identity calling. What is this? Well, hunger and resistance. It's often, again, if you feel that electricity of those two poles of I want, I'm scared, there's a good sign. Something's up, something's live. And then for the stretch, extend that to St. Paul's. What does it feel like we're on the edge of? What can we be listening to in our time that needs our voice? Because that's the other piece of this, is the scandalous idea that we are the hands and feet of Christ in the world. We are the incarnation of God. God's got lots of incarnation, but we're it here right now. Just this. So, as we move, so Christ moves. And that is how the world is transformed in our time. Let's be quiet together for a couple of minutes and just listen for whatever it is that is coming up now, and let that lead us into this coming Holy Week of listening and response.